I want to talk about Nicodemus today, someone we know from the Bible, of course, and basically also how testimony, your testimony, can be an inspiration to somebody else to take, you know, inquisitive steps in finding the truth and looking for the truth, and even when the truth is presented, ask more questions, and even in the face of people being anti and not wanting, the gospel to be told, and because Nicodemus was a Pharisee and he had lots of powerful friends who did not really like Jesus, but he just kept on trying to find out more about Jesus, which in the end he took a great step in taking down the body of Jesus when he was hung on the cross. So Nicodemus. And we're going to read a couple of things through him. Nicodemus, in Dutch we always called him Nico de Mus, which basically means Nico the Sparrow. No relation to Jack Sparrow at all, but that's the last one, Andy. Don't worry. But Nico, or from the Greek Nike, this means conqueror, and Demas, of the people. So he was a conqueror of the people, a ruler of the people, and he was a Pharisee. And a Pharisee, of course, was one who taught the people about the law of Moses. And Nicodemus was also part of the Sanhedrin, which was more or less the Jewish legislative authority made out of Pharisees, Sadducees, which believed in the law but did not believe in the resurrection, which I still can't figure out what that actually means. Not really learned men, really, and also other learned men. And their job was basically everything to do with the Jewish law and the rites, make sure it was done according to the law, you would hope. As we see in the Bible, that wasn't always necessarily the truth. And he lived, of course, during Jesus' time. And about Jesus Christ, first of all, we'll just go to Luke chapter 4. We'll just read a couple of scriptures quickly about Jesus and the Pharisees, giving a bit of a background. And of course, Jesus, in this time of Nicodemus being a Pharisee, Jesus made headlines being different, very, very different. And Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, as Jesus reading out on the Sabbath day from the book of Isaiah. And verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And that was Jesus' mission, to come to preach the gospel, give hope, heal people, and fulfill prophecy. And a lot of things have been said about Jesus Christ and what he was going to do. And this is Jesus standing up on the Sabbath day in his hometown saying, this is now going to happen. So it's quite a statement to be able to do something like that. And of course, not everyone was very happy about him being so bold. And we'll just move over to Matthew chapter 4. Of course, the books of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, accounts of what disciples saw from other sources, wrote down what had happened during Jesus' time. And Matthew here is writing down in Matthew 4, verse 23, what Jesus was doing. Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. So exactly what he prophesied was going to happen was happening. Many miracles. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. It's not only his own area of Galilee, but throughout all of Israel, people were taking notice of this person standing up and doing these mighty, mighty miracles. And what did the Pharisees think? We're just a couple of pages to Matthew chapter 12. Just a couple of verses I'll take out from there. So we see Jesus coming along, doing things which no one's seen or heard of before, and people taking notice, and of course, lots of people following him. And the Pharisees, of course, being the rulers, were wanting to know what's going on. Why are people following this Jesus? And Matthew chapter 12, verse 14, and just a couple of scriptures here and there in this chapter. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Fairly clear what they thought of him. Verse 38, and a certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Was almost mocking him, provoking him to do something which they could lay hold on him and say, beware of this person. Verse 22, in the same chapter, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, Jesus, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Jesus Christ making a statement, and all the people saying, is this indeed the Christ which was promised? And verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub and the prince of the devils. So straight away, just trying to downplay the role of Jesus, which of course was prophesied as well, that Jesus would face a hard time. But the Pharisees were not liking this Jesus person and taking away all these people and doing these great and mighty miracles, because that basically meant, the Messiah had come. We'll just continue on. Mark chapter 7. This is also a bit of background before Nicodemus steps in. Mark chapter 7. What did Jesus think about the Pharisees? Well, he wasn't one to... What do you call it?
Mince words.
Thank you very much. He wasn't shy to say what he thought. And chapter 7 of the book of Mark, and verse 5 to verse 9. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And of course, the Pharisees are there to uphold the tradition and the law of Moses. And they're mocking Jesus, is why don't your disciples do that? And Jesus, in verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well have Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and for laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Jesus was very, very clear. You are hypocrites. You're teaching people not the law of Moses, but all those wishy-washy things which have come in between, which you now do. A bit like we see nowadays in the churches of the modern age, forgetting what the gospel is, of people being, repenting, being baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, and seeing the healings and the provisions. And it's basically traditions, like many churches today, is traditions, and there's no power. Enter Nicodemus. So Jesus has come along, as we've seen, done many miracles. The Pharisees are not very happy. And then John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things, do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So he came there at night, and maybe because he was afraid that other Pharisees might see him, maybe because Jesus was too busy during the day, probably because he was afraid that his friends might see him. And one of the things he said was, we know. It's not only that he knew, but also maybe his friends, the other Pharisees. We know that thou art a man come from God, because no one can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So they saw something in Jesus which was very, very different to the traditions or other prophets which had stood up, because there were signs and miracles and wonders being performed. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, thanks, Nicodemus, I really appreciate what you say. He says in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus didn't understand, of course, in verse 4, saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So total no clue what Jesus was saying. And verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's what we tell people. You need to be born of water and of the Spirit to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not our words, it's the words of the Bible. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and wherever it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Jesus was very, very clear in what had to happen, how people would be born again, how you can come to understand the kingdom of God, and how you could enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, a learned person who's, you know, knows the law, knows the prophecies, and knows what was going to happen with the Christ to come. And in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He didn't understand. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And surely you should know. Surely you, as a Pharisee, as a ruler of the people, as someone who knows the scriptures, should know that this, what I've just told you, was going to happen. As we see in the Old Testament, there are various scriptures which lead on to being born again, of receiving the Holy Spirit, of course. And Nicodemus just didn't understand, and Jesus had to be very clear, which he goes on to do in further on in the chapter. We skip a couple of months, I think, and we go to John chapter 7. So in the meantime, Jesus does many miracles and breaks bread, and with, you know, many people receiving food, and telling people that he's the bread of life, and tells people that he's living water. And then John chapter 7, just almost at the end, in verse 45, we see that, you know, the people are divided, and also the Sanhedrin, you know, the authority of the Jews, are also confused over Christ. We read in verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests. These officers were told to get Jesus. Came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? Why haven't you brought Jesus? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. They were totally in awe of Jesus. And then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who know of not the law are cursed. The Pharisees, very defensive, very against Jesus, trying to keep their jobs, really. And in verse 50, we see that Nicodemus tries to stand up for Jesus. And Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him? And know not what he doeth. He tries to stand up for Jesus and say, let's hear the matter. If, you know, we are learned men, if we are able to speak to him in a normal sense, maybe we can get to know him a little better. And verse 52, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. So they were very harsh towards Nicodemus as well. But if they did a little bit of research, they would have known where Jesus was born, that he wasn't born in Galilee, but of course he was born in Bethlehem. And they did know the scriptures about, you know, a child being born in Bethlehem. the prophecies, the Old Testament stated. So they would have taken the time to speak to Jesus. They would have known more. But of course that wasn't to be, because Jesus had to fulfill his ministry and be crucified. And verse 53, and every man went unto his own house. So no one could win the discussion. They just left, went back home, and Jesus was left to preach the gospel some more. Okay, we'll turn to John chapter 19. Between John 7 and 19, lots of things happened, of course. The trial of Jesus, Jesus being crucified. Jesus being crucified as advised by the Sanhedrin. I'm not sure if Nicodemus was there. I'm sure he was, but because of the Jewish people and the Pharisees wanted Jesus to be crucified, it happened, and the Romans took care of it. And we turn to verse 38 of John chapter 19, just after Jesus had been crucified. And again, many prophecies being fulfilled at that moment. And it's about the burial of Christ, of Jesus' body being taken from the cross. And verse 38, and after this, after the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh, aloes, about 100 pound weight. So enter Nicodemus again. So what he does here is puts himself right out there, helping Joseph of Arimathea take down the body, spending lots of money, because that burial mixtures, I don't think, were cheap. And taking the body down, there's still lots of people there, I would imagine, and people mourning for Jesus, Roman centurions, even other Pharisees would have seen this happen. And Nicodemus wasn't afraid anymore. You see a change in Nicodemus, someone who first comes to Jesus secretly at night, then trying to stand up for Jesus when the Sanhedrin were talking about him, and then stepping back when they didn't like what he said, and now he's right there front and center helping Joseph take down the body. He's got all his myrrh and aloes with him, 100-pound weight to prepare the body for burial. And you see this change in Nicodemus over that time, and he's really, you see the faith that he has in Jesus. And we read in verse 40, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never was a man laid. So they took Jesus, prepared the body, and buried him. And like I was saying, we see this change in Nicodemus from John 3, 7 and 19. And during Acts chapter 2, we know that there was 120 people there at the moment of the people receiving the Holy Spirit. And after that, another 3,000 were baptized that same day from all over the modern world at that stage. And was Nicodemus there? We did see, he changed. He saw the testimony of Jesus Christ. He saw the miracles. He saw the disciples. He saw a lot of things happen. And we do know that a few of the Pharisees were born again. As we read in Acts 15, I won't go to it now. It shows a discussion between the Pharisees and the elders of the church. And so there were Pharisees that were born again. And I'm pretty sure, no evidence of this, of course, but that Nicodemus was a part of it. There's only one way to find out, is when we meet him up in the air. It's a good story just to see that someone with such a high level of authority, having that faith, having the boldness to step out in faith like we do as well. Our testimony, people see how we've changed and the miracles which happen in our lives. And the people, even after, if it is maybe 3 years in Nicodemus and Jesus' time, or 13 years, that people do see a big change. And our testimony shouldn't change. And we should always be bold in speaking the word and stand up for what we believe and, you know, do what Jesus would do. And in the end, what Nicodemus would have done. And just to go out there and be bold and have the faith. I'll leave it there.